Number 1.
Let's start off with some background information. I'm a 19-year-old male living in a semi-large city in Ontario. It was around 11 at night, and I had just got done working out at the gym. I went to the grocery store to pick up some food for the next couple of days. While at the grocery store, I decided to get $120 cash back, money that I owed my mom. And unknown to me, as I left the store, money that I came so close to losing. Instead of going straight home, I decided to go for a little drive. I just got my car not long ago and the novelty of driving stick hadn't worn off yet. After about a half hour of driving around in the city, I decided it's time to head home. As I passed the gas station on the edge of town, but still close to my house, I decided now's a good time as any to pull in and fuel up. I pull in and I notice that I'm the only one at this gas station. I'm in a very industrial business part of town, the edge, like I said, so there isn't much around. There's an empty lot without light beside the gas station, and I noticed an SUV sitting there. I would say about 100 to 200 meters away, but I don't think much of it. I get out and start pumping gas, and that's when I noticed a woman come around the corner and walk straight towards me. As soon as I noticed her, a shiver ran down my spine. I instinctively locked my car. She walked towards me quickly, hands in her pockets, staring at me pretty intensely the whole time. I got in a fight with my boyfriend and he left me here. Can you give me a ride to my mom's house? She said casually in her raspy smoker voice. Another chill ran down my spine as she repeated the question, almost word for word, in that same raspy voice. I have to pump gas first, I said to her, keeping my eyes on her the whole time. She then walks around the passenger side door beside me and grabs onto the door handle. Can you unlock your car door? I'm cold and I've been here for a while. I have to pay for gas, I said, deciding to cut the gas pumping short. I walk inside and talk to the guy behind the counter. I told him that the girl outside was kind of suspicious and I didn't know her. He just kind of shrugged, and I could tell he wasn't interested in getting involved, so I walked out. I figured she was probably high or something, but I would have to find a way to just get her to leave me alone. As I walk out, the SUV that I mentioned earlier started up. I watched the driver maneuver himself so he could just drive out the exit. He then stopped, engine still running. He was still about 100 meters away. Can you open the door now? I'm really cold. So many alarm bells were going off in my head already. First, she just looked sort of sketchy. She was dressed well enough, but her face was pretty rough. She was pretty much covered in makeup, but it didn't hide a nasty-looking sore on her lip. Her sunken eyes were dull and bloodshot, and just dead-looking. Second, she didn't seem like a damsel in distress. She didn't seem upset, and she spoke without much emotion. No, that's not my problem. I need to go home, I said to her, as firmly as I could. Come on, you're driving me home, right? I can't. I have to get home now. Reaching for my phone, I realize I left it in the car. I'm cold. I've been out here for hours, she shouts, pretty angrily for someone who's asking for a favor. Then I notice her glance at the SUV. I begin to speculate what's going on, and raised my voice a bit. That's not my problem. I'm now standing at the driver's side door. I'm freezing. You said you would drive me home. That's not my problem. I started to raise my voice, and she started to raise hers. We weren't yelling, but it was getting heated. We went back and forth like that for a couple of minutes. My mind was racing. I thought about losing my car, about getting stabbed or shot, about getting robbed for the $120 I had in my wallet. Then I just lost it on her. Get the fuck back. You don't know who I am. Get the fuck back right now. I guess I was in fight mode at this point. I was pretty ready just to fucking clock this bitch if she tried anything, as awful as that may sound. I think I caught her off guard or something, because she stepped back right away. You better get out of here right now then, she said, walking backwards. I instantly felt my balls tingle sadly and climb back up inside me after she said that. I was now out of fight mode and into fucking flight mode. I watched her until she got a decent distance away, noticing she was walking sort of towards the SUV. I didn't watch for much longer. I hopped in my car and peeled the fuck out of there. I turned into a random subdivision, making sure I wasn't being followed. I called the cops and they said they would send a car, but there wasn't much they could do because there was no real crime committed. But I did the right thing, and she was most likely bait for some kind of robbery. I then drove home as fast as I could. Sorry if this was a bit wordy. I'm still obsessed with the details of what happened, and that's what's got me so disturbed. The emotionless way she spoke, the creepy way she looked, that SUV. I'm surprised I didn't just burst into fucking tears. I mean, I've been jumped before, but this just seems so crazy and predatory. The last thing she said to me absolutely haunts me. You better get out of here right now then. Laying it all out like that, so suddenly giving up the damsel in distress act, has to be the worst part of this, for me.
Number 2.
You meet such interesting people on a gas station graveyard shift. I mean, generally you don't. It's a half-truth. But there's definitely a higher proportion of weirder scary fuckers than a normal retail shift. But after a couple of months on the job, you learn all the archetypes. The dead tired norms on their way home. The herds of teenagers on a candy binge. The meth heads who waste their entire month of food stamps on junk. The wine moms. The 24-hour gym rats. The alcoholics on bikes because of their DUI. Who panhandled $2 for malt liquor. It doesn't take long to see it all, and I've been here for years, long enough to see what I call interesting. Even when your threshold for abnormal is off the chart, you still end up with stories of the inexplicable or unnerving. I'll start with the latter. One autumn night, a man and a boy of about 9 came in around 3 a.m. I yell a half-hearted greeting, and barely glance towards them before back to my phone. The boy makes a slow, cautious walk towards the candy aisle, while the dad makes a beeline to the beer coolers. I can tell by his body language he's somewhere on the scale between unfriendly and angry, with his shoulders forward and brisk, stumpy steps. I sigh, anticipating an argument I've had many times. Last call was at 2. I can't tell you that. He glances back at me and moves wordlessly down the wall, selects a tee, and heads to the counter. The way he walks gives me the impression he's going to punch me. I ready myself and try to disarm him with a monotone, "How are you doing?" He hard stares me for an uncomfortable few seconds and says, "Pack of Marlboro Reds." Relieved he didn't start whining or bargaining about his beer. I turn back to him and grab the cigarettes and jump with a start at a yell of, "Jack, fucking hurry up, man!" I turn back and look past him to see his son at the candy aisle, thousand-yard stare, not really trying to make a selection. The first real look I've had of him tells me the tears he's fighting wouldn't be his first of the day. I ring in the smokes and tea and say nothing, hoping it will resolve itself. Dealing with the shit I see on a normal night, I've learned not to meddle. To no avail this time, as he tosses a grimy $10 bill for his incomplete purchase, and not 20 seconds after the first time, yells, "Jesus fucking Christ, come on!" That's enough to stop my interest in customer service. Graveyard is an interesting dynamic. Obviously, we're supposed to have the smiley, welcoming personality that all clerks are expected to have. But also, I'm here alone and also need to give off an air of security. Cross certain lines and I stop being friendly. I say, "Hey, relax," in a low tone. He turns back to me with the same intensity with which he yelled and answered, "What was that?" He can take 2 fucking minutes to pick the candy bar he wants. You're invalidating any points you'd score for buying him one by being a dick. You can shut the fuck up too! I tell him, we're done here. Grabs his purchases out of his reach and pushes money back towards him. As I do, I notice the bill has blood on it. Then I notice his knuckles on his right hand are bleeding. Old caked blood still oozing. Now I'm sure this could get physical. I'm a solid 3 inches and probably 40 pounds larger than him. But who knows what crazy has in his pockets. Our brilliant company policy doesn't allow weapons, but I keep deterrents conveniently placed in reach. I position myself to grab the pry bar and tell him, I bet your boy would like to leave now. He can keep the candy. He gives me the same long, unsettling stare and replies calmly, I'll be right back. I didn't stick around to see what he had in mind. I ran and locked myself in the back office and dialed 911. I felt a little stupid describing a run-in with a guy who may just be an asshole, but I watched on the camera as he rummaged in the back seat. I described the car to the operator, and she asked,
Did he have a little boy with him?
Before I was even off the call with her, I began to hear sirens. A lot of them. It took a few days and a few conversations with the police before I had the whole story. The response had been to an Amber Alert. Jack Sr. had lost visitation rights to see his son at the boy's request. Not content with a simple kidnap, his ex-wife was found unrecognizably mutilated with a claw hammer. The wounds on his hand were splinters from her skull. This happened 6 hours away from my store, and that was the first place they stopped. I try not to dwell on what might have happened if Jack had picked a chocolate in a timely manner.
Number 3. A couple of years ago, one of my closest friends relocated across country with his long-term girlfriend to work a job he couldn't refuse. The only issue he had was that he didn't want to fly his dogs out when they made the move, since they would be staying in a hotel for the first month. He was also a bit reticent to fly them out due to health concerns for both pets. By the time he located a home to rent, he was already missing his furry buddies, and made the request of his sister, another close friend, and myself to drive them to him in LA. Now, we are in Chicago, folks, so the trip would be a long one. However, with the three of us to foot a near 30-hour drive, it would be a piece of cake. We left early and drove long hours. Along the way, it was decided between my friend and I that we would foot the majority of the drive ourselves, and if we needed to, we would let our friend's sister do some driving. We were on a bit of a time crunch due to a snafu with the rent agreement, so we didn't have the luxury to stop every so often, aside from an 8-hour stay at a Denver La Quinta Inn. As for the journey itself, it was relatively smooth, barring being pulled over right before entering Utah for driving 2 miles in the left lane of an empty highway. Whoops. From that point, we made it through Utah, Arizona, and Nevada without much trouble, until we entered California in need of gas. I had been driving for the majority of the first day, and I tagged my buddy in after being pulled over. I remained in the shotgun seat as navigator, searching through the GPS for a fuel stop. We kept our eyes peeled for road signs, and finally discovered a sign that pointed to a Yarmo ghost town, or something along those lines, which had a mobile station. How wonderful. It was convenient too, as it was located almost directly off of the interstate. We rolled in on a little more than fumes when we approached the pumps. Normally, we would let the dogs out at every rest stop, but having stopped not long before then, and with both dogs sleeping in the back, I decided to pump gas without anyone else leaving the vehicle. My buddy pulls up on the opposite side of a beat-up green sedan, with a short, plump gentleman who just turned in to approach the shop. I noticed a few other hoopties at the pumps, all unoccupied, and there were a couple of other cars parked near the station, most likely belonging to the employees, so nothing seemed out of the ordinary. That is until I swiped my credit card. The pump rejected my first swipe attempt, which I chalked up to a misread. I swiped it again, and the pump reads out, Police Attendant. I was annoyed, but we needed gas. I tapped on the window and told my buddy what I was doing, and I asked if anyone needed anything. I walked up to the store and made a mental note of how strange this gas station was, kind of quiet, especially for one right off the interstate. But that's no matter. As I walked in though, more weirdness. First thing I noticed was that there were some boxes of chips left on the floor, like someone was stocking shelves and just quit. I noticed immediately that there was no one milling about in this place. With the 6 cars besides my own out there, I felt like I would see someone. Things got even weirder when I realized that there was no one behind the counter. No customers or workers. Then it dawned on me. What happened to the gentleman who was at the gas pump adjacent to mine? Surely they can't all be in the bathroom. This is where I began to feel a growing sensation in my stomach. Something isn't right. I have always been a person who felt like I could trust my instincts, and those instincts were screaming at me to just get the hell out. I want to run, but I hold back. I will look suspicious booking it out of a gas station that was empty, and I decided to just play it cool, natural, and not letting my body language let on how bad I was freaking out in my head. I was probably inside of this gas station for only a couple of minutes when I left, but I stopped just before exiting to listen for something. Anything. A flushing toilet would have been a good sound to hear, but there was nothing. As I exited the shop and see my car, I began to feel dread. It's like that moment in a movie where the hero is about to make it to the end of their trial, but the celebrity fanfare disappears, and in that silence, something comes and strikes them down. I'm about 25 yards away from the car when I see this man come out from around the side of the shop that was opposite to me. This is not the same man I saw when I was at the gas pump. He was larger and had a peculiar look on his face. The best way I can describe it, it was like Nick Cage's smile from Face Off. I continued walking toward my car, but when I turned back to look at him, he was now walking towards me with a purpose. At this point, I noped my way back to the car with increased urgency in my step. And of course, my friend has the door to the car locked like a complete douche clown. There is also a 95-pound golden Labrador in my seat. Apparently, my travel companions did not notice how freaked out I was, or the creepy man still walking in my direction. I punched the window and told them to unlock the fucking door, to which he only half rolls down the window to tell me the dog was in my seat, and they were afraid she would jump out when I opened the door. I reached my hand in and threw the dog towards the back seat as hard as I could, while my friend is just now realizing how freaked out I am. He started the car and drove off quickly. I took one last look back, and I see Nick Cage had stopped about a pump away from where we were, still with that same look on his face. We found another gas station further down the road, this time with a ton of people inside and out. After thoroughly creeping out my friends with the story while I pumped gas, we made our way back to the interstate, which meant passing that gas station again. It's been about 15 minutes since we pulled out initially, and we all go silent when we notice those exact same cars sitting in the exact same spots when we had left them. After being freaked out for a few miles, I receive a phone call from my credit card company telling me about a $100 charge at a mobile station. The lady on the phone was very helpful in fixing the issue for me, and was entirely creeped out by the situation as we were. In the end, we made it to LA and had a great vacation. But it still bothers me as to what the hell was going on at that gas station off the highway. And what the hell was that smiling man's story?
There's always a reason to be afraid.